Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamila, Text Number 27. Sevam Vartmanano Gyo, Mrityukala Upastite, Patim Chakara Tanaye, Bale Narayana Dvaye, Saha, that Ajamila, evam, thus, vartamanaha, living, agya, foolish, mrityukale, when the time of death, upastite, arrived. Matim Chakara concentrated his mind. Tanaye on his son. Bale the child. Narayana Avaye, whose name was Narayan. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajamila, he began thinking exclusively of his son, Narayana. Purport. In the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 216, Shukadeva Goswami says, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Bhyam Svadharma Parinishtita Janma Labha Parap Pumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by acquirement of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of one's occupational duty, is remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Somehow or another, Ajamila consciously or unconsciously chanted the name of Narayana at the time of death, Ante Narayana Smriti, and therefore he became all perfect simply by concentrating his mind on the name of Narayana. Interesting sound. Sounds like an elevator. It may also be concluded that Ajamila, who was the son of a Brahmana, was accustomed to worshiping Narayan in his youth, because in every Brahmana's house there is worship of Narayana Shila. This system is still present in India in a rigid Brahmana's house. There is Narayana Seva, worship of Narayana. Therefore, although the contaminated Ajamila was calling for his son, by concentrating his mind on the holy name of Narayana, he remembered the Narayan he had very faithfully worshipped in his youth. So here's our explanation. In this regard, Srila Sridhara Swami expressed his verdict as follows, and then there's a long Sanskrit verse. This not so long, so we can read this one, but it gets longer as it goes on. Etatschat tad upalab la nadi Sri Narayana namo charana mahatmya yena tad bhaktir eva bhut iti siddhanto pa yogi dvenapi drashtavyam. Please repeat. According to the Bhakti Siddhanta, it is to be analyzed that because Ajamila constantly chanted his son's name, Narayana, he was elevated to the platform of bhakti, although he did not know it. Similarly, Srila Vira Raghava Acharya gives this opinion. Evam Vartmana Svadvija Mrityukale Upastite Satyagyo Narayanakye putra eva matim chakara mati asaktam akarot ityarta. Quote, at the time of death, he was chanting the name of his son. Nevertheless, he concentrated his mind upon the holy name of Narayan. Srila Vijaya Dwaja Tirtha gives a similar opinion. Whatever. Mrityu Kale, at the time of death, Deha Viyoga Lakshana Kale. Lakshana means symptoms. Viyoga, Deha, the body. Viyoga is completely out of connection. Without connection with his body. When he was leaving his body, the symptom of the time. So at the time of death, when he was leaving his body at death, Sarva Dosha Papa, he was full of all kinds of bad sins. Harasya Harer, I guess he, for the removing of Harer is Krishna. By the mercy of Hari, all his sins got removed. Kali, at that time. Data, Jnana, Lakshane. So the symptoms of knowledge appeared. He was given Upaste, Riddhi, Prakakshile. Upastite? Upastite means to establish. Yes, Stiti, to be put in the heart. Appeared. Tanayo, Purna, he became full of knowledge, Bali, and strength. He got the strength of knowledge, Panchavarsha Kalpe, and the five years, Kalpe. Pradesha Matre, Narayana Dvaye Murti Vishesha Matim Smarnas Sammarta Chita Chakara Bhaktiya Smarat. Then he remembered when he was a little boy, and then he remembered his worship of Narayan when he was when Arbhagarta at that time. So he remembered Bhakti. So directly or indirectly, Ajami olfactually remembered Narayan at the time of death. So that's what it means. Ante Narayana Smriti. So text again. Eva Vartmano Vartamano Gyo Mrityu Kalo Pastite Vatim Chakara Tanaye Vale Narayana Vaye. When at the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajamil, began thinking exclusively of his son, Narayan. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Satarane. Yam Yam Vapvas Anta Kale Tamameva Smaran Mukhtva Kalevaram Yak priyati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshaya. Whoever thinks of me at the time of death alone, then he'll attain to me without fail. And yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajan tyantikalevaram tam tam evaiti kondiya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. That whatever one thinks of at the time of leaving the body, that existence will attain. So this is our consistent philosophy. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is quite valuable because we can understand any part of our intricate philosophy by analyzing it in terms of Bhagavad Gita. For instance, Bhagavad Gita says you have to think of Krishna. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama anusmaradyujacha mayarpita manobudhir mame vaishatya samshaya. So the consistent philosophy is, therefore, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. And at the same time, carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. When your minor activities are fixed on me and everything is engaged in me, then you'll attain to me without doubt. So there's no question of just do it working for Krishna and obtaining Krishna. Nor there is any question of thinking of Krishna without being disposed to dedicate our activities to Krishna and actually obtaining Krishna. Just like Ramdas. You know Ramdas? A lot of Ramdases. But this Ramdas was the servant of Gopal Bhatta Goswami when he was on his way to Jagannath Puri. Gopal Bhatta had visited Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya told him to go back and take care of his elderly parents, who happened to be great Vaishnavas. So after their death, after their disappearance, he went back to Jagannath Puri. And on the way back to Jagannath Puri, he met one Brahmin, actually not exactly Brahmin, he met one person, his name was Ramdas. And Ramdas was always chanting the name of Ram. I guess he had nothing else to do, so he was always chanting the name of Ram. Things were quite a bit simpler back then. He had no iPhone, no one was calling him up on the phone. He had no special duty to do on the way, you know, checklist, you know. Got this conference call, that conference call. He had plenty of time just to chant the name of Ram. But he was going with Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Maybe others also, but Gopal Bhatta Goswami was a Brahmin, and this Ram Das was apparently not a Brahmin, and he engaged in his service. Gopal Bhatta was quite impressed by his always chanting the name of Ram, and therefore he was reluctant to take service. But Ram Das said, no, it is my duty to serve a Brahmin. And at that time, you just didn't take a bus to Jagannath Puri. Nor are there any trains. Could you imagine that? There are a lot less road accidents in India, though. There are a lot less roads. And there are no airplanes. So this is just after the dinosaurs left the planet. And they were walking to Jagannath Puri, and it must have taken some time, so Ram Das had the opportunity to render a lot of service to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Always chanting Ram. When Gopal Bhatta Goswami arrived at Jagannath Puri, he met with Lord Chaitanya, who was overwhelmed with happiness seeing him, his great devotee. And later on, Gopal Bhatta Goswami recommended that Lord Chaitanya meet with Ramdas. Lord Chaitanya, being very polite, met with him but derived no pleasure from meeting him. Because Lord Chaitanya, being omniscient, knew that although Ramdas was always chanting the name of Ram, Ramdas was thinking he was Ram. That is, Ramdas thought he was Ram. He was a Mayavadi. One can always remember Krishna and think one is Krishna. I met one lady at one Sunday feast some time ago, and she was telling me how much she loved Krishna, and she even had a deity of Krishna. So I thought that was quite unusual because I never saw her at the temple before. And then she explained to me later on in the conversation that actually one day she would become Krishna. So this is common, it's not uncommon. We have a few devotees in Slovenia or even in India, but there are many more people who think that they are our God. It's a very common conception. In India especially. And in the Western world, everyone thinks they're God also. They think they're the highest authority. That's one of the definitions of God. So whatever, we can chant the name of Ram or any name, but if we don't have the proper conception, then we're not really chanting the name. A parrot could also chant Hare Krishna, but the parrot at the time of death is not going back to the spiritual world because he has no conception of what he's chanting. And worse than that is to have the wrong conception. At the same time, we can work constantly for Krishna and never remember Krishna. So ultimately, we can even go out in Harinam and distribute books and think we're going to gain so much by our activity. In other words, we're not really working for Krishna. We're working for our false ego. And therefore, when someone asks us to do something, we won't do it because it's not my false ego tells me not to do it. Because actually, I'm a servant of my false ego. I'm not really serving to Krishna and his devotees. I just imagine I'm Krishna's servant. And when Krishna's representative comes and tells me to do something, I say, no, no way. Who do you think you are? I know who I am. But who do you think you are, lording it over me? That's why you became an authority, just so you could lord it over people. But I'll correct you. I won't listen to you and make you humble so you can become purified. Common type of mentality. I only serve Krishna, and Krishna's devotees, they're all contaminated by the modes of nature, so it's dangerous to serve them. So better just keep my service to Krishna, whatever I imagine is my service to Krishna, because I'm pure, unlike these other fallen rascals that claim to be devotees. Whereas Srila Prabhupada was in Hawaii, and some devotees came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, your GVC is nonsense. We're not going to serve him. We're only going to serve you because you're pure. So, give us some instructions. So Prabhupada's instruction was, you should serve the GVC. No, Prabhupada, you don't understand. You know, your GVC is a rascal, and, you know, we don't want to fall into Maya by serving him. So, you know, but we know that you're pure, and therefore we're willing to serve you. So Prabhupada said, well, my instruction is, you serve the GVC. No, Prabhupada, you just don't understand. And the Prabhupada banged his fist on the table and said, get out of here, hypocrites. So we have to not only serve, but we have to serve in the proper consciousness. We have to chant, and also in the proper consciousness. For that reason, we have gurus, sadhu, and shastra to teach us the proper consciousness in which to do what to do, and the proper consciousness to do it in. It's not only anukulyena Krishna nu shilanam bhakti uttama. The minimum is anukulyena, anushilanam, which to do what Krishna wants through his, and we find out through his representatives, and anushilanam. It should be in a favorable attitude. And Krishna, it should be for Krishna. And then uttama bhakti is anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma dadavritam. It's not only anyabhilasita shunyam, not only pure consciousness, no other desire than to serve Krishna, but it's anukulyena anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma dharvitam. But it's the work doesn't have any aspect of jnana or karma in it. It's simply done to please Krishna, following strictly what Krishna wants us to do from his learning through his representatives. Then one can, at the time of leaving this body, obtain to Krishna. Now Ajamiya obviously wasn't pure. He didn't even know Krishna very well. But he was in great anxiety, calling for Krishna for help, similar to Gajendra. Didn't know very much about Krishna, at least as an elephant. Although he had practiced in his previous life as King Indradumya. But Indradumya was in meditation, which means that his level of Krishna consciousness is quite high at that time. So that when Augusta, he's usually coming around. Augusta comes, you should definitely pay him some special attention. Rishis tend to either bless you or condemn you. When you get condemned, it's quite a difficulty you find yourself in. In any case, he was condemned because he didn't greet Augusta Muni and offer him even a cup of water because he was in trance and meditation. And so he was cursed to become an elephant. But because he was such an elevated personality, he didn't become an ordinary elephant. He became the king of the elephants. Not only king of the elephants, but king of the elephants in a very beautiful place in the heavenly realms. And he got a number of very beautiful elephant followers. Now we may think this is insignificant, but for an elephant, a beautiful she elephant is, I'd imagine, can't remember, but it's just as attractive as an attractive woman is to a man, and vice versa. So he got a very nice material position, but he stepped on the wrong thing. An elephant, a powerful elephant, in the heavenly planets, alligators, he stepped on an alligator, and he developed this foot problem that lasted a long time. And no one could help him. Matter of fact, his foot was being chewed on by the alligator for thousands of years. But he was in such pain, and he was losing all his strength, and therefore he prayed that he remembered a prayer. Krishna, of course, is the source of remembrance. Because Krishna also knew that he was an innocent person, apparently, that when he got cursed, Krishna decided it was time to liberate him. So he gave him remembrance of the previous mantra that he had chanted. He lifted up a lotus flower to offer to the divine, the supreme. And then Krishna came and saved him in the form of Vishnu. So Ajamila was similar because of its great distress. Krishna, he wanted protection. Balasyaneha sharanam pitaro nishingha nartasya chagadam udanvito majitao now tatasya tatrividir ehansa shestas tvadvido tanubritam tat upekshananam. That balasyaneha sharanam pitaro nishingha, everyone, not only Ajamil, but everyone in this world is looking for shelter, because we're all feeling that we don't really have a very good shelter. As a matter of fact, according to that verse, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nrisingha, there are no good material shelters. The parents aren't good material shelters. The medicine will not be a good shelter. The boat will not be a good shelter. Because even we grow up, the parents protect us, which we may not grow up. Many children don't grow up. They die in childhood. But even if we do, we die anyhow. Even the medicines are effective and we get cured, but we don't live forever, so we have to die anyhow. Even the boat makes it across the river or the ocean and we don't drown, still we die anyhow. So, Tevidu Swarthagatim Hi Vishnu Dharashaya. It's all a bad shelter. The whole material existence. Even our very dear body, Matirna Krishna Paratuksatova, Mito Bipadyeta Griha Ratana. We're actually believing there's some shelter in the material world that we can actually take shelter of and become protected. So this is called Griha. Griha means house. And the first house we all live in is our body. So people, they're trying to make their bodies strong and healthy. You see these people, they build their muscles. Even a bullet hits me, it'll never find me because it has to go through 2 feet of muscle. So somehow or another, we're trying to take shelter of the body, first of all. Take our vitamins, do our exercise, get our health insurance, get our check up at the dentist, the eye clinic, the doctor's office, the toe specialist, hand and foot up and down. We want all the latest scientific equipment and inventions to protect our near and dear body. And once we think we have that solved to the best, then deha patya kala tradishu, then we get further protection. And that's why people get married ultimately, because they want protection. They want the shelter. Their wife will make sure they don't starve. Hopefully she knows how to cook. The house, the griha, will protect me from the cold and the thieves and the insects and the animals and whatever else. So we expand it to our family, and then we expand it to our community, Ljubljana. I'm not just a human being, I'm a human being in Ljubljana. We may not be powerful, but we're small but mighty. We're sincere. And Ljubljana, Slovenia. All right, Slovenia is very small, but it's actually part of something very big, the EU. So it has a lot of big brothers. Watch out. So we expand it, and we expand it, but we die anyhow. Doesn't matter how far we expand it, no one survives. But that's the whole idea, is trying to survive, be protected. Find some shelter, physically, mentally, intellectually, egoistically. Find some shelter where we feel protected. But it's all dirasha, it's all bad shelter. Pashana pina pashati. But people are blind, that's the job of the illusory energy, is to make people blind. So although they see there is no good shelter, still they're trying to take shelter. Except, Matirana Krishna, except for Krishna, that's the last resource. When everything else fails, then people call for Krishna. Gajendra had to have a crocodile on his foot for thousands of years before he suddenly remembered, called out for Krishna. And similarly, Ajamil had to see these horrible looking people dragging him away, and then he called out for Narayan. His son first, because, and then finally, he realized his son wasn't going to help him. Maybe his son came and said, "What's up, Dad? What's happening?" And nothing was happening. He couldn't save him. So then he remembered because that's our tendency. Whatever higher taste or whatever the best shelter we find, whatever the biggest that we're familiar with, that's what we take shelter of. So he had some experience of taking shelter in Narayan, some faith in Narayan. So he called out to Narayan. And Narayan sent the Yamadutas, the Vishnu Dutas, not to bring him back to the spiritual world, but because he sincerely wanted protection from the Yamadutas, it was Lord Narayan's pledge that anyone who takes shelter of him, that he'll protect them. Sarva Dharma Brijaja. Mame kam sharanam raja. So without any other shelter, he was calling out for Narayan, and Narayan sent the Vishnu Dutas to give him shelter, at least from the Yamadutas. And then he became aware that he was about to die, and he, according to his karma, he was going to a very miserable place. And therefore he decided to give up his sinful activities and to take shelter of Lord Narayan in a sacred place to become actually successful in life. So, this is supposed to be a lesson for us, that we have to choose the right shelter. And when our minds are wandering, it's usually because we're trying to figure out which shelter we want to take. We want to correct the past. We want to look forward to a better future. It's all trying to figure out what's the shelter I'm going to have in the material world. What's my plans to obtain that shelter, and what's the benefit of that shelter, and how I was a failure in the past to get a proper shelter. And the worst thing is that the shelter is the holy name of Vishnu, Krishna, and if we pass it up, mentally speculating, to try and figure out a better shelter than Vishnu, that's the most unfortunate thing. Or as it says in the Bhagavatam, that the most unfortunate thing is to think that there is a better happiness in existence than becoming Krishna conscious. But that's maya, yogas chalati manasa. Maya is constantly offering us, well, there's this happiness and there's that happiness, and you can get this reward and that reward. The chanting will give you so much. So that's the story of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the second part, which, according to our commentators, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the story of one Gop Kumara, who's a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, specifically near Govardhan Hill, who met one saintly person and received a mantra from him. It was an eight-syllable Gopal mantra. I can't remember. I guess it was the eight-syllable Gopal mantra. And he was chanting it, and his desires started to get fulfilled. And according to what he had heard, was the best position, because everyone's influenced by what they hear. He heard if you can become this king in this place, and this king in that place is doing so well. So he went there and chanted his Gopal mantra, and then by Krishna's arrangement, he became the king. And then when he was the king, he heard from the Brahmins that actually there's a better kingdom, the heavenly planets. He chanted his Gopal mantra. The Indra sent his celestial airplane. He went there. Because it's over, Acharya says, it's over many lifetimes. It's not just 15 minutes later the plane appears. Ah. It's not like the Gopal mantra is like a lamp and a genie comes out. Krishna comes out, yes, what can I do for you? Heavenly planets right away. You want the express or you want the local? First or second, or first class or business. Over lifetimes, but gradually he got elevated from this earthly planet, ordinary king, to Jagannath Puri, to Indraloka, to Marhaloka, to Tapaloka, Janaloka, then Brahmaloka, then he merged in the effulgence, and then he went through the coverings, actually, trying to find a better and better shelter in this world. And it's significant that at the very last covering of the material universe, then Maya personified came to him and offered herself. Maya, in the form of sex personified, came and said, I'm yours. I surrender. And he said, no, it's all right. Catch you later. I have an appointment. And then emerged in Brahman from the frying pan, from the fire into the frying pan. He was merged in Brahman for some time, but because he was Krishna conscious, sometimes he saw Krishna in the Brahman effulgence also. But then he was merging into Krishna. Finally he got out of there. Krishna knows how long it took him to get out of there. And then he wound up in Shiva Loka. But even that wasn't the ultimate shelter. And the story is that he had his shelter that he was actually looking for. He was unconscious of. But then he became more and more conscious that actually it's this cowherd boy. That's the shelter. That's the only shelter I can be happy with. And then finally he arrived at Goloka Vrindavan after learning from his guru and from the devotees, Narada Muni, Uddhava, and others, what his problem was, that only if he got shelter of Gopal in Vrindavan could he actually become happy and find real shelter. So finally he arrived there, and Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the story of his success and in his relation with Gopal, Krishna. So that's the point. Even we get free from one kind of misery, we get free from the Yamadutas, still, that's not the perfection. We have to ultimately take shelter completely of Krishna in pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness, and then we'll find actual shelter. Otherwise, everything is temporary, except for that shelter. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
So you were saying how unfortunate we are seeking shelter during chanting the holy name, seeking shelter somewhere else. So, but why are we doing that?
Because we're crazy. We've been educated to be fools. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, at birth we were all born Shudras, and then by our modern education we became less than animals. Because we've been trained up, according to Queen Kunti, Janmai Shorya Shuta Shibir Edamanak Madak Puman Naivahatya Vidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gochara. So she said, actually, there's two paths. First she says, Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanat. That Bhima specifically was fed poison. Vishan Mahagne, we were put into a house that was put on fire. Purushada, and then we escaped from the house and someone tried to eat us. A lot of problems. So they had big problems, we have little problems. But everyone has problems. They had very significant problems. Of course, one devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm very tiny and I'm very small and insignificant, but I have very big problems. So Prabhupada said, that's not possible. How can someone who's small and insignificant have big problems? The only thing that, if someone's small and insignificant, all they could have is insignificant problems. In any case, everyone has problems, big, small, insignificant, whatever it is. So when she had big problems, they took shelter of Krishna. And that, by becoming Krishna conscious, focusing their minds on Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna with love, they became liberated. On the other hand, Janma Aishvarya Shuta Shibir Edamanak Madat Puman Naivahatya Vidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gochara. Those who don't take shelter of Krishna when they have problems, they're going to have to take shelter of their own personal wealth, or if they can get other people's wealth, or their influence, or other people's influence, or their material education, or other people's material education. Janma Aishvarya Shruti Shivir Edamanak, or whatever. Beauty, that's influence, or whatever position they have, they may try to take shelter. But this trying to take shelter of these things, increase our material opulence so we feel protected, we're already, as Queen Kunti said, we're already intoxicated by material identification. It's just an intoxication, our material dreamlike existence. We're intoxicated. Just like Prabhupada said, someone is drinking wine, he thinks he's flying in the air. So we think we're crawling on this earth. And then when we add to it more intoxication, then you become crazy. So we've been trained up to become crazy, to hanker for these insignificant things as shelters, as saviors for us. So we're crazy. So it'll take some time to get over our madness so we can chant the holy name with actually some feeling, realizing that Krishna's holy name can actually give us protection. But that may take some time, that our fever goes down. Fever and material desire. Is that right? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Pimanandaya.